The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you may say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord. In the first letter of John, chapter 1, verse 8, John writes, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. During the season of Lent, liturgically, we throw this word sin around pretty loosely. It just seems to kind of pop up here and there, and we tend to use it a lot, but we never seem to talk about it. Talking about sin in the Episcopal Church is kind of like talking about sex, religion, and politics in 1970s America. You just didn't do it. It's not polite. Well, we seem to have gotten over our ability to talk about sex and politics, and in fact, it's all we seem to talk about. But in the church, we're still very uncomfortable with this word sin. In fact, if you are to use it, I dare you to drop it into just idle conversation with a friend this week, other than to say you can't believe what the preacher said about sin on Sunday. That's cheating. Because if you use the word sin in just regular conversation, you can watch people go rigid. It's just not something people want to talk about. I have a parishioner who once said to me, "I don't understand all this sin talk." We were talking about Ash Wednesday. "I don't understand all this sin talk. I'm just not a sinner." I'm like, wrong. But I knew exactly what he meant. I know exactly what he meant. I think it's the way most of us feel. We see, when we use the word sinner, we think of these egregious things like, wife beaters and pedophiles. And I know this guy doesn't fall into either of those categories. I mean, that's easy. If that's sin, then we can say, "Oh, that's somebody else. That's not me." But that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. Church tradition gives us this expression, this idea, this category that we call the seven deadly sins. Okay. Just to be perfectly clear with all of you, the seven deadly sins is not a biblical scriptural idea, okay? It's kind of like God helps those who help themselves. Ben Franklin, not Jesus. In fact, it always amazes me the number of scriptural passages that people will use that are not scriptural. In fact, they usually are Ben Franklin. Beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. Now, that should be scripture. In fact, there was a whole thing about Cana, wedding, whatever. Okay. But the seven deadly sins is not scriptural. It is actually The church struggling with this idea of the and why we do the things we do. Why are we the people we are? Why do we do the things we do? Originally comes out of Rome at about 500 AD. Thomas Aquinas got his hands on it and a few other folks. And the next thing you know, like so many traditions within the church, they become the word of God. Women can't be priests. Men, clergy, should be celibate. Women should not talk in church. No, that actually is in the Bible. But Paul said that. Don't look at me. If that was the case, church would be silent. This would be like a Quaker meeting, with the exception of me rambling on and on. But so this idea of the seven deadly sins, I think that was very helpful. And it is made most popular, for lack of a better word. It comes into our awareness more fully through the writings of the 14th century poet Dante in his second book of the Divine Comedy entitled Purgos. Purgate. Lord, help me out here. Purgatory, purgatory, whatever, Italian for purgatory. I got it at the 8 o'clock service. All right, seven deadly sins. Lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, anger, envy, and pride. Just so you get them all. Lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, anger, envy, pride. So basically, what makes us human? And in some points, at some part, that is the whole point. Sin, in many ways, is what makes us human. Because if we didn't have this sense of brokenness within us, this sense of incompleteness, this imperfection, we would be then perfect. And if we were perfect, then we would be God. And I don't know about you, I don't want the job. But this is the problem also. We have this expression that seems to get bantied about more and more every day about American exceptionalism, which is, well, American exceptionalism. The other side to that, though, is this great deception, particularly within our culture, that we are more than we are as individuals. That we are greater than we are as individuals. That we can do this by ourselves. That we don't need each other. That we don't need God in our lives. One of the great traditions also brought to us by that theologian, Benjamin Franklin. And he lived most of his life in France. But we seem to have fooled ourselves into believing that we are more than we are. And that becomes this enormous stumbling block to becoming who we were meant to be. This enormous stumbling block of realizing the divine possibility that is in each and every one of us. So it's Lent, so we're going to talk about sin, because I want to, because we never do, and because it is such an integral part to the human experience, I believe we need to. Now, the first roadblock that people put up when you start talking about sin is this whole idea of original sin. Again, not biblical. Well, if you want to go back to the, you know, book of Genesis and the tree, which is interesting because that story is the ancients struggling with the idea of what it means to want to be more than we are. It's actually, if you read the whole story of the Garden of Eden and try to get out of your mind that somebody actually thought this actually happened, it's amazingly telling. It's an amazing study of human nature. But this very first roadblock that people will throw up against you is original sin. And because they can't believe in original sin, they don't have to talk about sin. And why don't they believe in original sin? Because you look at a newborn baby and you say, how could this creature be sinful? How could one come into the world and not be uncorrupted? Because we say the world is what corrupts us. I believe that the only two people who truly understand original sin are new parents at 3 o'clock in the morning and parents of teenagers at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's not about this evil, corrupted nature. It's about the fact that we are not perfect. Praise be to Jesus. We are not perfect. Going through the seven deadly sins, just if you don't remember them, lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, anger, envy, and pride. If you were to take a moment and be completely honest with yourself, I'm pretty sure every person in this room could find that one of those they can hang their hat on. That is one of their stumbling blocks. That is the roadblock that we run into, that wall that we bump into as we try to proceed in this journey of becoming more fully holy. A lot of you have heard me say this before, you know, that I do believe we all make the same mistakes over and over again. You know, you make different ones than I make, and you make different ones than you make, but our lives seem to be these reels of tape just being played over and over and over and over again. It's part of the human struggle. My father used to say, you know, it's okay to learn from your mistakes, but could we try a different lesson from time to time? And you know what he's talking about. Most of the problems that we have in our lives as individuals all lead back to kind of one seed, one core thing within our being. I'm not going to tell you what yours are. You can figure it out for yourself. And out of seven choices, you might pick more than one. As I was preparing this sermon, I thought to myself, seven. That's about how many people are in the race for presidency. And each one could fill a different gap. And a few of them. But again, don't want to get myself in trouble, so I'll let you do that yourself. But it is a part of the human struggle. It is a part of who we are. Now, when I say that, that's not to dismiss it. That's not to say, you know, sin is a part of who you are. It's how you were created. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about it. No, that's not the point. The point is, because it's who you are, we need to be conscious of it. Because it's who I am, I need to be willing to spend time with it. I don't mean spend time with it like as in perfecting it. I mean to spend time with it as in being self-aware of how my life is turning out the way my life is turning out because I am not God. Because I am not perfect. Because I am human. Because to struggle is to be human. We live, we love, we struggle. That's the human experience. We live, we love, we struggle. And we need to struggle with our own selves, not just with others. I joke about the political, you know, those who are running for political office. But it's very easy to point fingers at others. Even people you like, you can always find fault with them. Ask your kids. But to truly come to understand your struggle, you need to confront it. Because we are so often blind to our own brokenness, although we are abundantly clear about everybody else's. So what is sin then? Sin is that act that human need, desire, compulsion to turn our back on the will of God. To want to be self-reliant. Now, self-reliance is not a bad thing, but to truly believe that we are it, that we are the center of our universe. Once you are older than about 3 years old, this is not a healthy understanding of the world, that you are the center of the universe. And this is part of the problem with sin. We spend our childhood trying to, you know, gain self-confidence, to gain self-love, to have pride in who we are. Even greed is a little good at the beginning because it's what makes sure we get fed. The problem is that we are supposed to develop beyond that, and so many of us don't, or we do in different ways. My sisters like to say, because of my dyslexia, my mother worked very, very hard on building up my self-confidence, and they created a monster. We all have that thing. But that is the human struggle. That is what it means to live, to love, to be. So if to sin is to turn away from the will of God, to repent is to turn back. To turn back into the light of Christ and to come to an understanding that maybe, just maybe, God has something better in mind for your life than you do. The divine possible is greater than anything you could ever imagine. And to open your life, to open your hearts, your minds, your imaginations to what it just might be. And as Christians, we got it easy. Because we know how to do this. I'm not saying other people don't. I'm just saying we've got it right there in front of us. As Episcopalians, we have the baptismal covenant. We have the final five questions of the baptismal covenant. It is like the owner's manual for being a good Christian. It is the owner's manual for being a decent human being. And the fathers and mothers of the church were kind enough to print it for us so we can actually take it with us. As a broader Christian community, we have it right before us. Jesus came to be with us to teach us how to be us. Jesus didn't come to teach you how to be God. Jesus came to teach you how to be you. I mean, look at the people who he gathered around him. If you were running a lesson on how to be perfect, Peter would not be at the top of your list. And James and John certainly wouldn't be there either. Jesus walked amongst us to teach us how to be us. God loves you for a reason. Our job is to just figure out why. Amen.